Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur today on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin in the middle of the Omid, if one is interested in counting rows 18 lines from the top. In the middle of the this Omid, you see a Dibur HaMasel from the Mishnah. Ulehechon Matzilin Oison. The Mishnah was dealing with the saving of the items from the fire, and the question is, where do you move them to? We were talking about the saving of the Kisvei HaKodesh, the holy writings, something like a Sefer Torah found in a burning house. So the Mishnah raised the issue of unto where do you save, where do you move them from the burning house? So the Mishnah went on to say, Lemovui She'eno Mefulash, to an alleyway that is not a through street. It's an alleyway that's what we might call a dead-end street. It's closed on three sides with the fourth side open to a public thoroughfare. That's a mavui she'eno mefulosh. Ben Becerra Omer, af lemefulosh, and Ben Becerra was more lenient and said you can take the safer out of the house, the safer Torah, or the Nevi'im or Ksuvim out of the house, and bring them to a mavui, to an alleyway, even if it is open on both ends. Our explanation was quite superficial, but that's just for the purpose of conveying the meaning of the Mishnah before learning the Gemara. We recommend turning to the Kuf Chof, Omid Aleph, and noticing the Mishnah over there. The upper part of the page, the end of the narrow lines, the Mishnah discusses the saving of food from a burning house. And there, on the second wide line of Daf Kuf Chof Omid Aleph, the Mishnah raises the same type of question, Lehechon Matzilin Oson, when you're moving the food out of the burning residence, unto where do you move it? So there, the Mishnah said, Lechotzer HaMe'u Reves, to a jointly held courtyard. Mu'revis is where they made an Eruv Chatzeros. In other words, the private homeowners that opened to this courtyard joined together with the with a joint contribution of food to form an Eruv Chatzeros. Ben Becerra Omer Af L'She'eino Mu'revis. You can move it from the house into the courtyard even if they didn't join ownership in that courtyard through the food method. In other words, without making an Eruv Chatzeros. So Ben Becerra is more lenient. Just like you see over here, Ben Becerra is more lenient. However, it's worth noting, just for the hemshich of the Gemara, as the Gemara unfolds a bit later, that in our Mishnah we speak about moving the safer to a mavui, and there, with regard to the food, we speak about moving the safer to a more restricted kind of area, a chotzer, a courtyard. We'll now turn to the Gemara. Hechi domi mefulosh, hechi domi she'eno mefulosh. What is meant, ultimately, by a mavui mefulosh and a mavui she'eno mefulosh? Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side of our Gemara, where we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we also have a structural note, a mivneh. So under the topic heading, we've written, Lehechon matzilin kisvei HaKodesh, unto where do you move the holy writings during a fire? Heter miyuchod lahem. We see in our Mishnah a special allowance. Yoser mi le'uichlim umashkin. More than we will allow with regard to the moving of food and drink, as we already pointed out. Under the Mivneh, you notice a triangle is featured, and as you scan ahead in the Gemara, you will notice a few triangles. They represent three deos, gimel deos, ba'amoroyim, amoraic opinions, and if you look at your Gemara, you'll notice Rav Chisda and Rabba, and at the top of Omid Beis, Rav Ashi, three Amoraim, Mahasbir Machlokes HaTanoim, Bemishnosenu, Rabbananu Ben Beseira, to explain the basis of the Machlokes, or the circumstances of the Machlokes we have seen in our Mishnah, Ulevases Oisom Al Tanoim Achirim, and to base the Machlokes in our Mishnah on Tanaic authorities that are seen elsewhere. And these are highlighted with a bow tie marking, as we will see in the Gemara. And the when we say basing our machlokis rabbonin be beseira on other tanoim behagdoras mavui, what is meant precisely by a mavui? Aleph sheina mufulash and beis mufulash. It is true we gave a definition or we gave a description already of that. However, as we said, we were explaining the Mishnah in a superficial fashion. We now turn to the Gemara. So the Gemara, in asking its question, what is meant by Mefulash and what is meant by Eino Mefulash, Omar Rav Chisda, the first of three opinions, Shalosh Mechitzos Ushnei L'chayayin Zehu Movoy She'eino Mefulash. An alleyway closed on three sides, in other words, on three sides it's lined with courtyards and houses and apartments, and on the fourth side it opens into a thoroughfare. And two L'chayayin, the word L'chayayin is the plural of the word Lechi. Lechi is an upright pole placed at the entrance way of the open side. So according to Rav Chisda, and we'll see later, this is based on a Tano, Rabbi Eliezer, that requires two lechis at the entrance way to the alley, to the Movui. So if you have, it's closed on three sides, and you have two poles, Zehu Movui She'eno Mefulash. That is the non-Mefulash Movui. In other words, as Rashi says, this is a Movui that is 100% mutter. What do we mean by 100% mutter? It's 100% mutter to carry in this alleyway. It's achieved its ultimate tikkun, its ultimate readying and preparation. We continue in the Gemara. We have a little bays here. That's Shnei Mechitzos Velechi Echad. If you have it closed on three sides and just one pole, upright pole at the entranceway, Zehu Movui HaMefulash. This is called Movui Mefulash. Utravayu Aliva de Rebbe Eliezer. Both opinions of, in our mission, namely of the Rabbonin and Ben Beseira, are in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer. Disnan, Hechshir Movui, in order to allow a Movui for Shabbos carrying, Base Shammai Omrim Lechi Vekora. Base Shammai says you need to have a Lechi, an upright pole, and a Korah, a cross beam over the entrance to the alley, to the dead end street. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Oi Lechi Oi Korah. Either or, an upright pole at the entrance or a cross beam. Rebbe Eliezer Omer Shnei L'chayayim. Notice we've dashed underlined Rebbe Eliezer because we want to draw your attention to his approach. He says you need to have two upright beams. Omar Le Rabo. Rabo addresses Rav Chisda, and he says, I can't understand your explanation and fit it into the words. Point one, he has two objections. Point one, Gimel Mechitzos Velechi Echad. How did Rav Chisda explain, or how did he describe that? Three sides closed and one upright pole. Mefulash koris le, you call that mefulash? The word mefulash, generally speaking, means open, through and through, a through street, a through alleyway. How can you call something that's closed on three sides a mefulash? The word is simply inappropriate. The oid, and a second problem, le rabbonon, according to the rabbonon, that Rav Chisda's description of the Rabbonin, if you go back to Rav Chisda, he said that if you have an alleyway that's closed on three sides and has two upright poles, that is the Movui She'eino Mefulash, and that is what the Rabbonin in our Mishnah said, you can bring your Sefer Torah into that area from the burning house. Well, if that's the area into which you are bringing the Sefer Torah, well, Natsil L'Soichu Oichlin U'Mashkin. This is in light of the Mishnah that we saw in Daf Kuf Chof Amud Aleph. The Rabbonon should allow the movement of food from the house. Let's say this again and emphasize food. The Rabbonon should allow the movement of food as well into such an area that has all of the proper Shabbos tikkunim, the Shabbos preparations necessary. It's proper setup for Shabbos. Something closed on three sides and has two poles at the entranceway. Why would the Rabbanon say that with regard to food and drink, you can't move from the burning house the food and drink into such an area? It's so well set up for Shabbos. Elo Omar Rabo. Just to the very last point before we go on in the Gemara, the Rabbanon said you can move the food and drink only into a chotzer hameurevis, but not into an alleyway. But if the alleyway is three sides closed and two poles at the entrance, why shouldn't you be allowed to move food and drink into that, as well as the sforim, the holy scrolls? So, in light of Rabbah's objections to Rav Chisda, Rabbah comes up with his own explanation of our two Tanoim in the Mishnah. Elo Omar Rabbah. Rabbah features an alleyway that actually is open, physically open on two sides. It's a through street, a through alleyway. So Rabbah says, Shtei mechitzos u'shnei luchoyayim zehu movui she'eino mufulish. If you have two sides are closed. In other words, it's lined with houses and courtyards on two sides, and two upright poles, one pole at each entranceway to this through alleyway. Zehu mavui she'eino mefulosh. That would be called the mavui she'eino mefulosh, and that's what the Rabbanan in our Mishnah allow with regard to movement from the house into such an area. Shtei mechitzos v'lechi echod, zehu mavui hamefulosh. If it's two mechitzos, two sides are closed with houses and courtyards, and there is a lechi echad, one upright pole at one of the entranceways, zehu mavui hamifulash. That's called a through street, and this is what Ben Becerra would allow. He's more lenient and would allow even into such an area where there's only one pole at one of the entranceways. Utravayu alibod rabuta, both Ben Becerra and the Rabbanan are accepting Rebbe Yehuda's definition of a Torah Rishus HaYochid. If you're carrying from the burning house into another area, it would have to be another Torah level, similar domain, similar location. So if the house, of course, is a Rishus HaYochid, you'd be allowed to carry into something else that is also defined as a Rishus HaYochid, a non-public domain. Well, Rebbe Yehuda's opinion of the definition of a Rishus HaYochid happens to be something closed on two sides. That's from a Torah level. As far as being allowed to carry in such an area, so the Rabbonon, according to Rebbe Yehuda, there's rabbinic requirements beyond the mere two sides, as we will see shortly. The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source. Yeser al kain Omar Rabbi Yehuda, mi sheyesh lo shnei botim b'shnei tzidei rishus harabim. If a person owns two houses, one on either side of a public thoroughfare, oise lechi mikan v'lechi mikan, he can set up an upright pole from next to one side of the house, and another upright pole at the other side of the house. Okura mikan v'kura mikan, or poles going across the thoroughfare, cross beam, across the two cross beams, from each corner of one house to the other. V'nosei v'nosein be'emtza, and you can carry in between these two houses. And in other words, it's on the thoroughfare that's running between these two houses, but the area between the two houses being that there's a crossbeam across the two corners of each house, one to the other, it becomes a totally allowed private domain. Omru lo, the Rabbonin who disagreed with Rebbe Yehuda, say, Ein ma'arvin rishus harabim bekach. You cannot enclose a rishus harabim that way. For our purposes, though, we want to emphasize Rebbe Yehuda. So as far as Rebbe Yehuda is concerned, once you have a street that has mechitzas on two sides, in other words, it's a through street, basically, it becomes a Torah level Rishus Hayachid, and all you have to do is, as we saw in Rabbah's explanation, two lechis would make it into something called Eino Mefulash, and if you have just one lechi, it would be called Mefulash, and of course the Rabbonin and Ben Becerra would state their cases respectively. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye attacks Rabbah, and he says, Lididcho Nami, according to you, Le Rabbonin, according to the Rabbonin. Once you set up our Rabbonin in the Mishnah, the Rabbonin who argue with Ben Becerra, once you set up our Rabbonin, also in accordance with the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda, and you say that they, the Rabbonin, hold two sides closed, even though it's a through street, but two sides, not with walls or with houses lining it, make it into a Rishus HaYochid, and you also mention that you have two lechis, or two crossbeams, so they should also allow, let's read the bottom line of the Gemara, Natsi L'socha Ochlun Umashkin. Why did the Rabbanan, when it comes to the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Chof, not allow the movement of food into such an area? They allow it only into a Chotzer HaMe'urevis, which is a more restricted type area. But if, as you Rabbah are saying, that the Rabbanan hold like the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda, in defining a Rishus HaYochad, a private domain, as a street that is closed on two sides and open on the other two sides, and you're also saying that it's Eino Mefulash by having two lechis, you should be allowed to move food and drink into such an area as well. Elo, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Elo Omar Rav Ashi. We have a little write-in. Notice we are trying to use the bow tie marking for Rav Ashi as well. The Gemara doesn't have the word travayhu like we've seen so far for Rav Chisda and Rabbah, so we wrote it in anyway based on Rashi, and that is that according to Rav Ashi, both the Rabbonon and Ben Becerra subscribe to Rebbe Eliezer that you need to have three mechitzos and two lechis. That is in general. In general, you need to have that. However, in order to allow carrying in a movui as Rebbe Eliezer sees things. We are dealing with the saving, the salvation of a holy scroll from a burning house. Here, even Rebbe Eliezer reduces his requirement level. And let's continue now in the Gemara. We continue with Rav Ashi, Ella Omar Rav Ashi, both, and here we use our bow tie, both Rabbonin and Ben Becerra are saying their din, their halach in the Mishnah, according to the Tana Rebbe Eliezer. Shalosh mechitzos velechi echod, ze movui she'enu mefulash. In the context of saving a holy scroll, as we say, Rebbe Eliezer lowers his standard one notch. According to the Rabbanan, you can move the Sefer Torah into a mavui that is closed on three sides and has only one upright pole. That's called a mavui shena mefulash. Gimel mechitzos below lechi zehu mavui hamefulash. Three sides closed and no upright pole at the open side. That's called a mavui mefulash. The afilu leRebbe Eliezer to Amar bo'inon lechoyayim, and here where the Gemara says what we said already orally, even Rebbe Eliezer, who in general requires two lechis to allow the standard carrying in a mavui, hani mili leoichenu mashkin. That's when it comes to food and drink. Avol leSefer Torah, but when it comes to saving a Sefer Torah from a burning house, bechad lechi sagi. According to the Rabbonan, one lechi is enough. And we can just fill in the rest and say, and according to Ben Becerra, even if you don't have the one lechi, but it's closed on three sides, that too is allowed. We continue with the Mishnah. Matzilin mazon shalosh seudos haroi la'odam haroi lebehema. In the event of a burning house, you're allowed to save 3 meals worth of food for a person and for an animal as well. Ketzad, Nofla Deleika Belele Shabbos, if the fire broke out Friday night before any food was consumed, before any meals, Matzil Mozon Sholosh Sudos. So one is allowed to save 3 meals worth of food. We should point out parenthetically that during a weekday, as far as the Gemara is concerned, the time of the Gemara, there was a morning hours, an a.m. meal and a p.m. meal, and a morning hours meal and an evening meal, 2 meals per day. That's in general. When it comes to Shabbos, though, we speak about 3 meals. We have an evening meal and an early morning hours meal, in other words, an a.m. meal and a later meal in the p.m., the afternoon of Shabbos. That accounts for 3 meals. Now, we continue in the Mishnah. Let's say the fire breaks out b'shacharis. In other words, they already had their nighttime meal. The fire breaks out in the morning hours. Matzilin mozon shnei sudos. You have just the a.m. meal and the Shabbos afternoon p.m. meal. So that's 2 meals worth you would be allowed to save. B'mincha, if you already had your morning Shabbos meal, then mozon suda achas. Rabbi Yossi omer le'ola matzilin mozon shalosh sudos. Rabbi Yossi says you are always allowed to save 3 meals worth of food. The Gemara continues now. Michti behetera kotorach. We're dealing with the movement of something that is allowed, something that food, and we know from the next Mishnah, that is the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chaf, that you are carrying the food from a house to a chotzer ha-me'ureves, to a jointly owned courtyard, forgetting about the fire, on a standard Shabbos, you can carry things freely from a house to such a courtyard without any restriction. So here you're dealing with the movement of something that's mutter, food. And this you might even contrast with what we spoke about in moving the different Sifrei Kodesh, some of which you were not allowed to read from. Here we're dealing with food, something you're allowed to consume. It's a mutter thing, natsil tfei, so you should be allowed to save more. The topic heading on the side, you can see we've written, Lomo yesh hagbolos b'hatzolas mozon. Why are there restrictions when it comes to the saving of food? Why does the Mishnah speak only about 3 meals worth maximum? And the Mivneh, we have a diamond featured, Shnei sibos lahagbil b'hatem l'shnei mikrim. We'll present 2 reasons for a restriction based on 2 different circumstances. So we continue with the Gemara, trying to understand why there is a restriction. Omar Rava, mitoch shodom bohul al mamono. We're talking about a person, an odom, a person who is bohul, who is confounded, confused, preoccupied with watching his possessions, his money, his momon, his wealth going up in flames. All of his wealth, he has a house with its contents, is in flames. A person in that state of mind cannot think too clearly. E Shoris Lay, if you give him license to save everything, all the heter stuff, all the mutter stuff, we're afraid Osi Lichbuya, he's going to come to put out the fire. And as unfortunate as the circumstances are, one is not allowed to violate Shabbos unless it's a matter of something that's life-threatening. However, if something is financial-threatening, that is not grounds for Shabbos violation. And putting out a fire constitutes a Shabbos violation. So we know that a person, if you leave him with an unrestricted amount of things he can save, he will lose himself, and he'll end up putting out the fire. Omar le Abaye, Ela, ha desanyo. We have the following source, which will raise a question. Nishbro lechovis beroish gago. A person had a barrel, let us say a barrel of wine, on a rooftop. Mevi kli umeniach tachteha. A person can bring a vessel, put it on the floor to catch the runoff of wine as it drips or flows off the roof. That's mevi kli umeniach tachtel. Ubevad shelo yovi kli acher viyiklot kli acher viyitzareif. Provided he doesn't attempt to bring another vessel and catch the wine vehicle, means catch it in midair, and mitzarek is to attach or hold the vessel right at the edge of the roof and catch the wine that way. So this source is saying, broken wine barrel, we allow you to place on the ground one vessel and that's it. Well, hossa my gzeiro iko, what's the fear over there? Why the restriction over there? Why can't he bring another vessel to catch wine in midair? There's no fire issue there, so why the restriction? The Gemara explains, hachi nami, in the case of the broken barrel, as we said in our introduction, this represents a different circumstance, but also grounds for restriction. Hachi nami gzeiro shemo yovi kli derech rishus harabim. We're afraid that if we allow him to bring additional vessels, besides the one that we said he can put on the ground, he's going to lose himself, and he's going to bring more vessels, even if it's a matter of bringing it through a public thoroughfare, bringing vessels from wherever through a street to this location, and that would be a Shabbos violation of Hoytzah. Gufa. We now have a Tanaic source that we had referred to a moment ago in passing, and now we quote it in full. That's the Gufa connotation. The source says, Nishbra lo chavis barosh gago, a person had a barrel of wine that broke at the top of his roof. Mevi kli uminiach techtel, he can bring a vessel, put it on the ground to catch the dripping or the flow of the flowing wine. Buvash liyovi kli achiv yiklo kli achiv yitzar, provided he doesn't bring an additional vessel to catch the flow in midair or hold it at the edge of the roof. Nizdamein lo orchin, if this person happened to have guests, and mevi kli acher, he is allowed to bring an additional vessel, the kolet kli acher umitzaref, and bring another vessel and hold it at the edge of the roof. V'lo yiklot v'achar kach yazmin, but one is not allowed to pull off a trick and after he places the initial vessel on the floor to bring another vessel, catch more wine in midair, and then invite guests. Elo yazmin, but what a person can do is to invite guests so that he's now in a position that he'll need to catch more wine than the one vessel that he placed on the ground. So if he first invites the guests, v'achar kach yiklo v'ein marimin b'kach, he is allowed then, after he's invited the guests and he for sure needs more wine, he can then bring an additional vessel and catch more wine in midair. V'ein marimin b'kach, and one is not allowed to trick in this way. Meaning, what is the trick? That, and Rashi says, ein marimin b'kach l'zamein orchin she'enon srichin le'echol v'yosiru, to invite guests that don't need to eat, and then have all of this extra wine available. So, as the Gemara and Rashi explains, if you're inviting guests, you'd have to be inviting guests that that haven't eaten yet, and that will participate in consuming this wine. Mishum Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Amru Ma'arimin. According to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, you are allowed to invite guests even if you know they already ate. The Gemara continues with a question. And before we continue with the question, let's glance at the side of the Gemara where we have a topic heading. Ha'aroma. Ha'aroma is a trick, be'inyan hatzola, regarding saving of something. Number one, mozon b'shabbos. We just had the case of food on Shabbos. We spoke specifically about the case of the wine. And number two is what we are about to learn, oisoi v'es benoi shenoflu lebor b'yomtov. We need to say a word of background before continuing in the Gemara. The Torah prohibits the slaughtering of a mother and its offspring on the same day. That's called Oisuv Es Benoi. In our Gemara, we're going to talk about an Oisuv Es Benoi, a mother and offspring animal that fall into a pit. And we're talking on Yom Tov Day. Yom Tov is a time during which one is allowed to slaughter animals in order to have meat for his Yom Tov meals. So the Gemara now introduces a source where the issue of ha'aroma comes up, a trick, is featured in the context of Oisiv Espino, and what we want to do in the question, which is, you can see illustrated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you can see the long question marking. We want to try to parallel the shitas we saw, the Chachomim and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, in the source we just finished, with two new Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who argue in the case of Oisiv Espino, where the issue of Ha'aroma comes up as well. So the Gemara's question is, let's read it now inside. Lemo beplukta de Rabbi Eliezer ve Rabbi Yeshua komifligi. Can we say that the machlokas Tanakama, first opinion, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda that we just saw in the case of the barrel broken and inviting of guests, that machlokas parallels the machlokas with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, as we will now learn. Desanya Oisiv Espino shenaflu lebar. Two animals, mother and offspring, that fell into a pit, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, and again, we're talking on Yom Tov Day, Male es Horishon, you can raise the first one, Almanas l'shochato, in order to slaughter it. V'hasheni oisa l'parnosu b'mkomo b'shvil shelo yomus. And the second animal, you leave in the pit, and you throw, parnosa is its sustenance, you throw down food for it, so that it doesn't die. But as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, it's Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to trouble yourself any more than is absolutely necessary. And if by raising one animal, you'll have your food. And of course, the second animal you wouldn't be allowed to slaughter anyway, because it's an Oisiv Espino situation, so we don't allow raising it. We don't allow raising the second animal. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Malin es Horishon Amanas L'shochto. You raise the first animal with the intention of slaughtering it. V'eino shochto, and then you don't slaughter it. Let's say, and then you decide not to slaughter it. Rashi adds here, Shemotze lo alilo, Shemo chaveru shomim. He finds an excuse to raise the second animal. Maybe it is fatter, more desirable than the one I raised already. Uma'arim, this is the trick, as we just saw in the Rashi. Uma'arim, for ha'roma, a trick. Umale es hasheni, and based on this suggestion, if you will, this ha'roma, we say, okay, you think the second one is better, so raise it. And now the two animals are in front of you. Rotzo zeh shochit. Now choose which one to actually slaughter. Again, you can't slaughter both because you have the Oisiv Espino restriction. The point is, we see Rabbi Yeshua allowing a ha'aroma, so shall we say that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, with regard to the broken barrel and catching the wine, who allows ha'aroma, namely allowing you to invite guests that already ate, in order to save more wine. So do they parallel one another? And likewise, Rabbi Eliezer here with the Oisiv Espino and the Rabbanan before, who don't allow ha'aroma, they would seem to parallel each other. The Gemara now rejects that suggestion. And the rejection, we call this a long rejection. You can see the dechia word appearing to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a long marking. The Gemara says, Mimai, who says that we parallel that way? Dilmo adkan lo ko'oma Rabbi Eliezer, hosam, maybe Rabbi Eliezer, who said you can't do the haroma, that's in the case of the Oisiv Espino, hosam, there, in the animal in the pit, the efshir b'parnosa, there was an option, a good alternative option of preserving the animal by throwing food down in the pit. And you experience no loss, zero loss through that option. So Rabbi Eliezer doesn't allow your troubling yourself to raise the second animal. There's no need to. Aval hocha dolo efshalo. But here we're dealing with a broken barrel of wine, and if other than the first vessel that you put on the ground, you're going to lose the rest of the wine if you don't bring another vessel. So you'll have no option other than taking advantage of the haroma that we mentioned, invite guests even though they already ate. So even Rabbi Eliezer, because here there is a loss, if you don't do the haroma, you're going to definitely suffer a loss. Rabbi Eliezer will allow The Ad Kan Lo Koma Rabbi Yoshua Hasam, and it could very well be that Rabbi Yoshua, who was lenient in the case of the Osuv Espino, there he allowed the Haroma Mishum Tiikot Tsar Bali Chaim, because there's a consideration of the animal stuck down there in the pit is suffering, and in order to relieve its suffering, even though it might be able to eat, apparently being down in a pit is not pleasant for the animal. So in order to avoid or circumvent the problem of Tzar Bachaim, he allows the haroma Avol Hocha, but in the case of the barrel of wine that broke on the rooftop, the Lekot Tzar Bachaim, you don't have that additional consideration. So lo, he is not going to allow the haroma. So as you see, even though one Tana in a particular situation allows a trick, that doesn't mean that he allows tricks across the board. You have to look at each case on its own. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue in the sugya of saving and what you're allowed to save, how much you're allowed to save, with the following source. Hitzil pas nikia, person saved bread. Good quality. Nikia literally means clean bread. It's bread that doesn't have all kinds of chaff and stubble that's in the flour from which it was made. So you saved three meals worth of clean bread. Ein matzil pas hadro. You're not allowed to save this kind of bread. Pas hadro, for our purposes, will be a poor quality bread. Pas hadro. Let's say you saved three meals worth of pas hadro. Matzil pas nikia. We will allow you to save three meals worth of better quality bread. Umatzilin miyom hakipurim l'shabbos. Let's say you have Yom Kippur is on a Friday and a fire breaks out, so you'd be allowed to save food from Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Avalo mishabbos liyom hakipurim. But if you have Yom Kippur comes out on a Sunday, so you're not allowed to eat anyway on Sunday. It's Yom Kippur, so we will not allow you to save food from Shabbos, from a house burning on Shabbos for Yom Kippur. As Rashi explains, as far as what will you eat after Yom Kippur, so you'll worry about it then. The Ein Tzorech Lomar, and based on what we've already said, we don't have to tell you Mishabbos Yom Tov will allow you to save food from Shabbos for the benefit of for having food for Yom Tov. Velo mishabbos l'shabbos haba, and not to allow you to save food from this Shabbos in anticipation of next week. That's Shabbos haba, next Shabbos. Tanur Rabbanon, another Tanaic source appears. Shochach pas b'tanur v'kidesh olav hayom. A person forgot some bread in a hot oven, and kidesh olav hayom means and Shabbos set in. Matzilin mozon sholosh su'udos. You can save three meals worth of bread. The omer le'achirim, and announce to others, bo v'atzilu lochem. If the oven is filled with more bread, so he can say to others, come and save for yourselves. Ukshu rodeh, and when he removes the bread from the oven, rodeh is the process of removing bread from the sides of the oven walls. If you are familiar with some old-fashioned stone or clay ovens, and pita bread baking, you might know that the hunks of dough are slapped along the sides of the oven walls, as even to this day in some locations people bake pita bread in that fashion. The process of removing it from the sides of an oven wall is called rodeh or rodias hapas. So in this source it says when he does that removal, lo yiradeh bimradeh. There's a formal kli called a maradeh, or mardeh, which is the formal official standard vessel. It's a type of flat board which is slipped under the bread, and you remove it from the oven walls that way. But we're talking about the removing of the bread on Shabbos. So don't use that vessel. Do it b'shinui. Do it with a change. Elo b'sakin. Use a knife. The Gemara asks, why should there be any restriction? Any v'ha tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. We have a teaching from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that says, lo sasek kol melacha. That is the pasuk in the Torah that is in the Ten Commandments referring to Shabbos. You're not allowed to do melacha. Yotza Tkias Shofar Diyas HaPas, the term Malacha excludes the blowing of a shofar and Rediyas HaPas, the removal of bread from the sides of an oven. She Chochma V'Eino Malacha. It's a talent, but it's not a Malacha. It's not a formal creative activity. If that be the case, so why shouldn't you? Why is there any restriction with how you remove the bread? It's not a Malacha. So the Gemara answers, Kamo De'ef Shelishnei Mishaninon. As wherever you can do something bishinui, do it in the unusual, the unofficial, the non-standard way, all the better. There is a restriction of removing bread from ovens on Shabbos, even though it's not a Torah level restriction. There is a rabbinic restriction, and therefore, when we are making an allowance, because if you don't do anything, it'll burn up and you won't have what to eat. So we allow you to do it, but do it, the Rabbanan make, they compromise, so to speak, and allow you to remove it, but do it in an unusual fashion. Omar Rav Chisda, the oilum yashkim odom loitzoas Shabbos. A person should get up early, and here we're talking on Friday, to preoccupy himself, to trouble himself with regard to the preparation of Shabbos. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'hoya b'yom ha'shishi v'echinu es ha'shioviu," and we understand that la'alter immediately. It says when Friday sets in, immediately when Friday sets in. In this case, we're talking about Friday. Let's see, Yashkim, generally speaking, is Friday morning. As soon as Friday morning sets in, at the crack of dawn, of course, daven, and then start getting ready for Shabbos. Omar Rabbi Abba, B'Shabbos Chayav Odom Livtzoa Al Shtei Kikros. When it's Shabbos, a person is expected, is obligated to break bread over two loaves. During the weekday, of course, well, if you have a loaf of bread, you cut the loaf of bread and eat it, one loaf. But on Shabbos, at each meal, you're supposed to have two loaves present. And on the side of our Gemara, we have written Lechem Mishneh. That's the idea. Lechem Mishneh is bread, double, two loaves for each meal. We will notice under our Mivneh heading on the side a triangle feature. This explains the presence of triangles in the Gemara. Hanhogas Rabbonim Belechem Shel Shabbos. We'll see the practice of different Rabbonim. We see our triangles feature Rav Kahana and Rabbi Zeira, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, how they conducted themselves with regard to breaking bread at the beginning of their Shabbos meals. So we continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Abba says that one needs to bring to have two loaves. Dichtiv, the posuk says lechem mishneh. In the context of Shabbos, that is the term that appears. A mishneh maybe reminds you of the word shnayim or sheni, and mishneh double. The Gemara continues, Omar Rav Ashi, Chazino Lei L'Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi says, I noticed, I saw Rav Kahana, Denoka Tarti, when he made the brocha of Hamotzi, he held two loaves, Ubotza Chado, and broke one, cut one of them. Omar Liktu, Ksiv, in the psukim that deal with the gathering of the mon, the heavenly food that was provided for the Jews on Shabbos, when it came to the mon, a double portion fell on Friday for Shabbos. So in the pasuk says liktu, which is mashma the holding, and it's in the plural. Liktu is in the plural. So holding the lechem mishneh, holding technically the liktu is a plural referring to the Am Yisrael, but it's the liktu of the lechem mishneh holding both of them. But when it comes to the cutting, it doesn't say mishneh. So when making the bracha, you hold the two loaves, and when cutting, cut one. Rabbi Zeira have botza akulo sherusa, akulo sheruse. According to Rashi's pshat, there are other meforshim on this point, but Rashi's pshat is Rabbi Zeira, when he cut a large piece. He had a loaf and cut off a large piece. Amalei Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina asks Ravashi concerning this practice, for merci ki Rav Sanusa. It looks like he is ravenous. The word Rav Sanusa has as its root the word ra'ev, resh ayin beis, and even in English you can see the words seem similar to one another, ravenous. And in terms of etiquette, Jewish derech eretz, behavior that is uncomely is something that we avoid. So cutting off a big hunk looks like a ravenous behavior. So how is it allowed? Omar Lei, so Rav Ashi answers Ravina, Kepa dechol yoima lo ovid, since on the weekdays a person doesn't do that, idna hu de kovid, and today, because it's Shabbos, in honor of Shabbos, he is cutting off a large piece to honor Shabbos, so lo merci krafsunus, he doesn't create an impression of being ravenous. Once again, during the week, this same person wouldn't do that, and only on Shabbos he is doing it. So it shows that he is, as Rashi says, mechabev su'udas Shabbos lischazek v'lechol harbei. He is showing, he's demonstrating that he is fond, especially fond of the Shabbos meal. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, ki mikla lehu rifta de'eruva. If they would chance upon the bread that was used in making an Eruv Chatzeros, for example, there's also the example of an Eruv Tavshilin when Friday is a Yom Tov and Shabbos follows. It's another example of an Eruv, but it's a bread that was used in a mitzvah. So when they would get a hold of that bread, Rashi's example is the Eruv Chatzeros bread, the bread that was contributed by different neighbors to create a joint type holding of a chotzer. So if he would chance upon that bread, the bread that was contributed by others, sharu iluya, he would make his birchas hamotzi specifically using that bread. Amri, basing himself on the following, hayo v'isavid bo chado mitzvah, since one mitzvah was already done with it, it was used in making the eruv chaseris, which is a type of mitzvah derabbanon. I'm going to do another mitzvah with it, and namely the Shabbos meal. Ketzad nofla deleka v'chulei. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side. Bekama sudos chayovin b'Shabbos. How many meals is one actually obligated to eat on Shabbos? So we have a Tanaic source. Kama sudos chayovin lechol b'Shabbos. Number one, the first opinion, shalosh, three meals. Rabbi Chitka, Omer, arba. Rabbi Chitka's opinion, four meals. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, ushneim mikro echo darshu. Both the Tanakama and Rabbi Chitka darshan the same posuk. Vayomer Moshe, ichlu hayom ki Shabbos yom Hashem, hayom lo simtzu basodeh. This posuk from Shmos, Perek, Tezayim, posuk of Hei. So you can see with our markings, has the word hayom dashed, underlined three times. And it's a pasuk where Moshe tells the Jewish people you eat the mon today, that which you gathered on Friday, but there is no mon to be found today on Shabbos. Rabbi Chitka Sovar Hani Tloso Hayom Lebar Meurta. The three appearances of the word Hayom are a reference to three meals besides the nighttime meal that they already ate. It could very well be that he's emphasizing the word hayom in its literal form, daytime. So you have three references to daytime besides the nighttime. So there would be a total of four meals according to Rabbi Chitka. The Friday night meal, the first, and three daytime Shabbos meals. For Rabbanan Savri, Bahadi De'urta. And the Rabbanan are of the opinion that the three words of Hayom that appear here are including the nighttime meal for a total of only three meals. As we go on in the Gemara, a new marking appears. You can see the house form, and on the side under our Mivne heading, we feature this little house form, Birur Shel Shalosh Mekoros Kemihem. We're going to present as we go on through the Gemara, which continues down Kuf Yud Ches Omid Aleph. There will be a presentation of several Tanaic sources. And at each point, we will be asking according to which one of these Tanaic opinions, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Chitka, which one of them does the source that we will present conform? Tnan, Nofla Deleko Belele Shabbos. The fire broke out Friday night. Matzilin Mozon Shalosh Seudos. We're at the top of Kuf Yud Ches Omer Aleph. And we've dashed underline Gimel, three sudos. My lav, to lo ochal. Is it not so that this source is talking about a fire that broke out Friday night before he ate? So that you're seeing a salvation of three meals total, not like Rebbe Chidkov. So this source then would be a demonstration of another Tanaic authority, or a Tanaic source unlike that of Rebbe Chidkov. The Gemara says, Loi, that's not the case. De Ochal, he already ate his Friday night meal, and he is allowed to save three more meals, total of four, like Rebbe Chidkov. The Gemara continues with Tanaic citations, Shachris, if the fire breaks out Shachris, morning, Matzil Mozon Shtei Seudos, two meals worth are allowed to be saved. My lav, the lo ochal, is it not so that he has not eaten, and you're in the morning hours, so you're saving a total of two meals, plus the nighttime meal which he already ate, total of three, unlike Rebbe Chidkov. Lo, that's not the case. Rather, the ochal, he already ate the morning meal, and he's allowed to save two more meals, total of four, like Rebbe Chidkov. The source says, "Bamincha matzilin mazon suda achas." In the afternoon, you're allowed to save one meal. My lav, the lochal. Is it not so that we're talking about someone who has not eaten his afternoon meal, and he's allowed to save just one meal? Loi, the ochal. He already ate an afternoon meal, and he's allowed to save one more meal for a total of four Shabbos meals accounted for. The Gemara asks, "V'ami de katoni seifa?" But from the fact that the seifa says, "Rabbi Yosi Omer li oilom matzilin mozon gimel sudos," that's the seifa of these citations. And we should have pointed out, not too late though, that these citations are from our Mishnah. And at the end of our Mishnah, it says, "Quotes Rabbi Yosi is cited." Rabbi Yossi speaks, and he says, you are always allowed to save three meals. Michlal, the Tanakama, Gimel, Svirolei. It must be that the Tanakama also held three meals, but it just depends at when the fire breaks out. And Rabbi Yossi is coming to say, no matter when the fire breaks out, you're allowed to save three meals. So the point is that the citations that we just saw, which were coming from our Mishnah, from the Tanakama of our Mishnah, he agrees with Rabbi Yossi that three meals, it's just a question of is it always three meals, or depending on when the fire broke out. So all the answers we've been giving along the way that try to set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Chidko will not check out. Ela machvarta, rather, it's more likely masnis in the lo ka Rabbi Chidko, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Chidko. The Gemara continues, Bahadisnan, that which it teaches in the following Tanaic source, Mishi Geshlo Mozon Shte Sudos. This Mishnah talks about the collections and division of money and food for the poor. So if a person is a very poor individual, but he has two meals worth two meals, Lo Yitol Min Hatamhui. He's not entitled to a portion from the tamhui. The tamhui was a daily division of food. Food divided to the public, poor, daily. How much food was divided out? Two meals worth. That's how much a person eats during the day. Therefore, if a person has two meals worth of food, he's not entitled to take from the daily food distribution. Mozon arba esrei, if he has food for 14 meals, lo yitol min hakupa, he's not entitled to take from the kupa. The kupa was a public money chest, which was divided, money, cash was divided. But someone that had 14 meals worth of food was not entitled to this kupa distribution. Now, what we've done with our markings, we've dashed, underlined, arba esrei, 14, money. This Tanaic source is in accordance with whom? Lo Rabbanan velo Rebbe Chidko. E Rabbanan chamesri havyon. If it were according to the Rabbanan, think about this. Six days of the week, two meals per day, that's 6 times 2, that's 12. Shabbos, according to the Rabbanan, is 3 meals. So 12 plus 3 gets you to 15. And according to Rabbi Chidkov, it would be 12 plus
4, getting you to 16. And that's what the Gemara says here, I Rebbe Chidka, Shis Sari Havyon. It would be 16. So this source that speaks about a total of 14 meals for a week, where, based on whom is that? The Gemara has two approaches, and you can see with our markings, we have a double underline that's featured on our Mivneh heading, where we try to explain, these are three different answers to explain the source, the Mishnah in Peah, which we just saw, is in accordance with whom. So the first approach, Li'olam Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who speak about three Shabbos meals. The Amrinon lay, we tell the poor person who is coming for his collection, my deboyis lemechal ba'apuki shabato, that which you ordinarily would eat as your Saturday night meal, which is basically, say, two meals a day. Saturday night represents the beginning of Sunday. So you have the night ushering Sunday and the daytime Sunday. Those are two meals. So what we're telling this poor person is that that which you would ordinarily have eaten as your Saturday night meal, eat it as your third Shabbos meal, which is close to the evening. Let's read that line again. Eat that as your third Shabbos meal. But notice, we're not altering the total number of 14, because we said two meals per day, six of those during 6 days. So Sunday is your first in the week, week's worth of meals. So the first Sunday meal, eat it as part of Shabbos, for the third Shabbos meal. Well, with that explanation, Leimo Rabbonin hi velo Rebbe Chidka, should we say that this source then is according to the Rabbonin and not according to Rebbe Chidka? The Gemara says no, afilu teimo Rebbe Chidka. This source that speaks about 14 meals for the week could actually work out like Rebbe Chidka as well. The Amrinon lay, we tell the poor person for coming for his collection, and we're going again with Rebbe Chidka, who speaks about four Shabbos meals. We tell him, "Might the boys lemecha b'mali Shabbato, that which you were going to eat as your daytime Friday meal, your second Friday meal, achle lurta, delay and eat it Friday night." What would come out then is that we're not changing the total number 14. We're just saying that the second Friday meal, which was the morning, the meal he would have eaten Friday morning, eat it Friday night. The Gemara asks, "V'kule yoimo demali shabbat betaniso mosvin lei," and all of Friday he should sit fasting. In other words, all the entire daytime hours of Friday he should be in a state of fasting. That's unreasonable. Elo. A third approach then to explain the source that spoke about 14 meals for the week. That source is Ha Moni Rebbe Akiva Hi. This is in accordance with Rebbe Akiva. The Omar, Rebbe Akiva, addressing the poor, says, Asei Shabbat Chachol V'al Tetzorech L'Brios. Make your Shabbos, which generally speaking has more than two meals, make it like a weekday, and don't be dependent on others, so that in the event that a person has no funds and he is dependent on others, so his Shabbos has to be like a chol, meaning merely two meals, and two meals for Shabbos as well. So he'll have his Friday two meals, and his Shabbos will be two meals. It'll be a Friday night meal and a Shabbos daytime meal, and that's it. And with that in mind, so it's 7 days, two meals per day. 7 times 2, 14, and then there, with that in mind, then the source we saw above that spoke about 14 meals is in accordance with Rebbe Akiva's principle. The Hadisnan, the following Tanaic source, Ein pochasin le'oni ha'oiver mimokom le'mokom, we don't give less to a poor man who is traveling from place to place, mikikor b'ponyon mi'arba so'im b'sela. A kikar is a loaf of bread that costs a punyon. A punyon is a type of coin. There are 48 punyons in a sela, and the size of the loaf is a loaf that costs a punyon when 4 sa'ah can be purchased for a sela. So that gives you a sela as a coin. As we mentioned, the coin contains 48 punyons, so we're talking about a loaf of bread that is 1/48 of what a sella would buy. And we see here a sella would buy you 4 sa'ah, so that will give you an you take 1/48 of 4 sa'ah, or 1/12 of 1 sa'ah, and that will give you the size of the loaf. Lon, if the poor man is going to spend the night where you are, noisnin lo, parnosis lino, you provide for him his needs for the evening, the Shabbos, and if it's Shabbos that he's going to spend by you, noisnin lo, mozon, gimel, sudos. This source is brought in to emphasize just this last phrase, mozon, gimel, sudos, for Shabbos. So, leimo rabbonon hi velo rebi chitka, should we say that this source is in accordance with the Rabbanan, who said 3 Shabbos meals, and not Rabbi Chitka, who speaks about 4 Shabbos meals. The Gemara answers, Li'olam Rabbi Chitka, this source could be in accordance with Rabbi Chitka. Kigon Ti'ika Se'uda Bahadei, we're talking about someone that came, he's a poor man, but he has food with him. Bahadei means together with him, he has food. Di'amrino Le, we say to him, Ha Di'ika Bahadoch Achle, that which you have with you, eat it, and we'll give you 3 more meals, a total of 4 Shabbos meals. The Gemara asks, "V'chi ozil b'reikon ozil?" And when he leaves, he should leave with nothing. The Gemara says, "No, de malvino le seuda bahadei." We will accompany him in his departure with a meal. My parnosas lina. In this source, we saw an expression, parnosas lina, and Rashi explains a little bit more behind that. What's behind this question? We've provided for his meals already. So what is meant by parnosas lino? Omar Rav Papa, Puria Ube Sadia. Very simply means we provide him a bed and a pillow. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.